Hey, welcome back to the show. Today, let's talk about how to powerfully lead your team. There are some questions you're asking your team, and those questions are not helping you. They're not empowering the team. They're not motivating, exciting, tapping into their already internal desire. And I want to show you how to shift your quality of questions in a way that it inspires, it lights up, it excites, and actually removes so much stress, overwhelm, responsibility from your shoulders. And it really allows you to better utilize and empower your team. To illustrate this, I'm going to kind of replay a conversation that I had with a client several months ago. He's a CEO of a 8-figure fund, almost 9 figures. He'll be to 9 figures at the end of the year. And with that, he has a team of about 16. And to understand his background and who this individual is, aka why he's so maybe similar, and you can relate to him, I'm going to share just a little bit of his story. He performed really well in high school and then college, played soccer at the college level. This is a guy who knows how to win. And in the past, he would utilize any tactics to win. He is also a man of faith, a father, a husband, and somebody who wants to live a life of integrity. He's made that decision. And so he recognizes that he can kind of burn the world down and win. He has that capacity. And he knows when he's done that. And he also knows he doesn't want to play the game that way. He wants to win because he is empowering people. He wants to win because he is playing for the creator. He wants to win because he's utilizing integrity. He wants to win because he's actually adding value into the world and not vindictive and manipulative. So recently we hopped onto a coaching call. I said, how's everything going? And he gets this big smile on his face. He's like, Katie, I'm getting stuff done. Only he didn't say stuff, but I don't swear. Katie, I'm getting stuff done. There's so much happening right now. There's so much opportunity right in front of us. And I'm doing a lot of things. And he was really frustrated with his team. I don't see drive from my leadership team right now. We don't have any great leaders. So much is pulling at us right now. And my team is wallowing. They're taking their eyes off the ball. We've got delinquencies. We're not resolving those delinquencies. And at the end of the day, it is taking 10 iterations to get things done that should only take one time. And he was like, I need your help. There's so much going on. Help me prioritize. How do I know when to jump in and actually solve things and when to trust my team? My team needs so much guidance, but what this business really needs me to be paying attention to is conversation with attorneys, legal. I need to know where to push back, when not, what's acceptable risk, what's not acceptable. And he said, it's kind of chaos right now. I have called a team meeting and here's my plan and strategy. And I'd love your input on it, is what he said. He said, I can see that they need actionable steps to manage everything that's going on. And so I've come up with 3 steps. I want your opinion on these 3 steps. And these are guidelines for my team. My hope is that these guidelines will help everybody take ownership, really think things through, and move out of the 10 iteration to completion process and into the 1 iteration completion process. So, okay, give it to me. What are your 3 steps, these guidelines to getting it done in 1 iteration? And he said, the first is ask questions. So when a loan officer is handing you something, ask them some questions. Make sure you're really clear on what needs to happen. Said, okay, sounds reasonable. Step number 2 in the guidelines is don't assume. So don't just ask questions, over ask. And if there are thoughts popping up in your head where you have some questions, well, reach out to that team member or reach out to that client or reach out to that expert that we're interfacing with. Don't make any assumptions and get clarification. Said, okay, sounds pretty good. I think we're on track. And then what's number three in the guidelines? And he said, hold each other accountable. And I was like, hold on a second. We're going to call my client Devin, by the way. We're going to call him Devin. Hold on, Devin. I'm foreseeing a potential problem in particular with number three. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, hold each other accountable, right? Go back to what the problem was. Well, nobody had ownership, right? They kept passing the buck off and pointing the finger at each other. And so what he's wanting is for everybody to take responsibility. So let's help each other take responsibility. And I said, listen, if I say that to you, like I'm going to ask your business partner or even me to hold you accountable. Well, you're like, just the fact that we've even said that, you're like, I am going to bend over backwards, do gymnastics, and ensure that nobody has to hold me accountable. And therefore, I will get it done the first time, right? That's how he would respond to this hold each other accountable. If you've listened to any of my conversations about how you operate as a CEO, as a founder, as an owner, you know that your perspective on the business and the world, by the way, is not the perspective that your team members are carrying. They don't see life through the same lens. That's not to say they are less than in value or worthiness. It's not. It's just different. You're somebody who has radical self-accountability. Your team members probably don't. If you say to them, hold each other accountable, what's going to happen is they're actually going to amplify the finger pointing. And they are going to, like a communist community, start snitching on their neighbor. That's not productive. That's not going to create the outcome that you want of ownership. It's not going to create that accountability. And he was like, he was immediately irritated and disappointed. And I said, well, what's going on? And he was frustrated. He doesn't want to have to slow down and address things because someone's being lazy or someone's being an idiot. And I said, that kind of came out. And I said, that's not what's happening here. You need to approach them and address this, not because you think they're lazy or you think they're an idiot. Because he was like, I don't want to treat them that way. And I was like, you're not. The reason we need to ask a better question is because as a team, we see a significant problem in the world, specifically in the hard money lending space. And we are on a mission to transform that, to evolve it, to bring values, to bring morality, to bring integrity into a space that's full of sharks. And that means like life is already pushing against us by the nature of that. We are on a mission. And as a team, we can't afford to be slipping up as much as we are. What was beautiful is what came out. He was like, listen, we have some amazing people who are ready to write us big checks and become investors and become a part of this team. And their confidence is kind of waning because of how we're dropping the ball. If we're going to scale, we need to operate cleanly. If we're going to complete the mission and do the things that we feel called to do as a business, as a company, as an entity, we need to operate cleanly. So I said, okay, we need to simplify here. I don't think number three of the guidelines, hold each other accountable. I think that's going to create a lot of fear. I think it's going to create snitching on your neighbor, and it's going to amplify the stepping out of responsibility and ownership. It's just going to create more finger pointing. So what if we change number three to, if I were to get this right the first time, what would that look like? And what would happen for the CEO is he immediately reacted to it. He was super irritated. What? Like if somebody said that to him, he would be so annoyed and insulted. He would be insulted. And I was like, look, maybe that is insulting. I don't know. But we need them to take ownership and we need to do it. And part of how you do that is by asking a question that engages their brain into problem solving. And so rather than telling them, hold each other accountable, we are asking a question which engages their brain, engages their creativity, gets them problem solving, gets them thinking like you think from that place of ownership without forcing them into it. And it says, if I were to get this done the first time, what would that look like? Quick question for you. What would happen in your business and life if you could show up powerfully? As a coach to high-performing entrepreneurs, I help intelligent people like you do just that. And if you want to be inspired by people who are getting more done in 90 days than most people do all year, I'm going to invite you to go check out my case studies. The website is now.katierichardson.com/case study. And the cool thing is we've got so many case studies there. You can find an entrepreneur who's just like you. I've also got a link for you down in the show notes. Okay, back to the show. So I let him have his little, express his irritation that I shouldn't have to ask that kind of a question. And I'm like, maybe that's true. Maybe that is true. Right now, the team's not performing. Right now, they're wallowing. They're rolling their eyes. They're taking their eyes off the ball. They're not resolving issues. And they're pushing responsibility off onto each other. So why don't you give it a try? Take this question, take it to your team. So he does. He has a town hall. He reminds them of the importance and significance of their mission. He reminds them how each of them have been hand selected to be a part of this team. He reminds them that he believes in them and that he wants to empower them, that he doesn't want to have to jump in and fix things and be the one kind of solving all of the problems. He doesn't want that, doesn't need that. And so he says, what if we come up with a set of guidelines that better empowers you to live these values, deliver on this mission, and get things done the first time so that none of us have to deal with all of this, the backfiring and the ball being dropped. And so he shows them the guidelines, asking questions, don't make assumptions. And if I got this done right the first time, what would that look like? He did tell me later, he was said they were irritated with number three. And I said, okay, they were irritated. He said, Katie, they're getting stuff done. They're getting it done. So he let them have their little moment of irritation. And that question was shifting their perspective. And it was having them pay attention to the questions and the little red flags that they were ignoring, because now the objective was to get it done the first time and not to push off responsibility onto somebody else, knowing it was going to set off a cascade of issues. But, oh, maybe that person will deal with it, or this team member, or maybe even the CEO, Devin's going to swoop in and fix it because he always does, right? I'm going to invite you to pay attention to the questions that you're asking your team. And given that you're the CEO, given that you're the founder, the owner, the creator, you shoulder certain responsibility that isn't necessarily automatically showing up with your team. It's not. And in a lot of ways, I don't blame them. That's not their role and their responsibility. That is your role and responsibility. But can you be asking a question that is empowering your team, engaging their creativity, having them pay attention to potential red flags or obstacles or issues that would be in the near future that you see, obviously, that they're kind of ignoring because they just want to pass it off to the next person. This entrepreneur, Devin, the tool of the past was to just put his head down and keep taking on the responsibility and ultimately doing the work of his team. And that had reached its limits. It had him working 120 hours a week. It had him frustrated in his business partnership. He was actively losing his best employees, including people who were leaving and then wanting to sue him because they thought he was a horrible person, which is not true. They were in their own delusions. And, you know, his wife very reasonably wanted to know why he wasn't being present with their young kids at the end of the day at the dinner table. And so, you know, that tool set of, I'm just going to get it done myself. I'll do it myself. He had really maximized that, and it was limiting the growth of the company. And so he and I have worked together, and he knows what it looks like to empower his team. And so what happened in this moment was things were starting to get overwhelming again. And the tendency when things get extra stressful and overwhelming, our tendency is to fall back to what is familiar. And for him, it was hard work, discipline, and do it myself. Thankfully, because we were having a weekly session, we caught it when he was doing that. He even knew it. He brought it to me. I'm getting stuff done, but I'm doing it and my team's not. And now I'm managing all these people who are dropping the ball everywhere. It's like herding cats. And he had reached tremendous level of frustration. He knew he needed to bring them these very actionable steps. That in itself was even irritating to him. He's like, why do I have to spell this out for you guys? He knew that needed to happen. And thankfully, we caught it where his questions were off. So this is a chance for you to look at how you're running your team. Are you like Devin, enabling them to throw all of the issues and problems and obstacles at you, and then you spend your nights, weekends, evenings, lunchtime solving all of those problems for them? Are you falling back on your hard work and discipline and maybe over-functioning in that area? And if so, how can we ask a question that engages their creativity, their inner wisdom, because they all have it, and even their experience and access to information, given that that's their role and their responsibility? Can we really tap into their creativity and problem solving, and therefore empower them to resolve the issue and not continue to train them to bring difficulties to you? That's the opportunity. And what's so beautiful is this question of, if I were to get it done right the first time, what would that look like? It's actually becoming a part of team culture, and it's something that is happening. And it still has my client shaking his head. He's like, I can't believe this is working. But it is, for all the reasons that we just talked about. And so know that your perspective is not their perspective. And if we ask a better question, it will empower our team to perform and support you on this mission. And that's where I want to end this thing. You have something significant you feel called to accomplish and do in this world. And as a result, you have created these products, these services, this company, these values to deliver real value into the world. And when we show up powerfully with our team, you then are able to operate cleanly. You then are able to instill confidence and your potential customers, even confidence with your team members. And that is the opportunity. And to do that, we have to step out of our own delusions. We have to step out of our habits of the past. And that means that you're going to be in a place of discomfort for a little bit. This is how you can powerfully grow your business and your organization. So don't ask them to hold each other accountable. That's communism. Shift into a place of asking a better question and step back and let your team do what as a team you are called to do. And this is what's working now. It's working for Devin. It will work for you. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye. Thanks for listening to the What's Working Now podcast. If you found today's episode to be interesting, be sure to share this with a friend. And if you are looking to level up your organization as a CEO, I'm going to invite you to join the Now newsletter. This is a weekly newsletter. I send it out on Fridays. I tell personal stories, talk about what it's like to build a significant business while raising a family, homeschooling kids. And I even share case studies, very timely, relevant situations where I go into detail how I am helping entrepreneurs navigate, lead, and build incredible organizations. You can get all of that behind the scenes information and more inside the Now newsletter. I've got a link to it right now in the show notes, and I will see you in the next episode.